This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Everest, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. So starting this week, we got the second part of a three-part series going through the Parmelis benchmark that we just finalized for 2024. Quick reminder, if you do not know what the heck I'm talking about, then that means you probably didn't listen to last week's episode. These are not necessarily meant to be done in order, but if you haven't read the report yet, I probably wouldn't listen to this one. And if you haven't read the report and listened to the first episode, I probably would start there, but I'm not your boss. You can do whatever you like. As always, though, I do not want you to say, Hunt, you went down through the report. This is what it means to me, too, just by based on what I'm saying. I am trying to give you, some of this is my analysis on this. Some of this is context that you wouldn't see. But again, I'm trying to get you information so that you can use this for a tool for your business to make your own conclusions. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you want your question answered on here live, just have a topic for me to discuss or anything else in between, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. And lastly, if you need to hire the next rock star for your team, don't forget a dedicated sponsor's Promotive and give them a call. If you're looking for a full-service staffing solution that does everything from sourcing, qualifying, creating job descriptions, scheduling interviews, to negotiating job offers, Promotive is your answer. Visit them online at gopromotive.com. The first week we talked about, like I said, if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. We were going down through all of your guys' averages. I put all of you guys into one bucket and I said, here's the average of our shop. Our sales up or sales down, is profit up, profit down, and everything else in between. But like I mentioned last week, and I'll mention to you again, you don't want to compare yourself to the average. You probably want to compare yourself to the top shops, which is what we're going to talk about next week. But there is so many more ways to break this down. How do you compare? How does your labor rate compare to shops in the West, Southwest? How does your productivity compare to these different areas? How does your profit compare? And every single else broken down to big shops, small shops, Euro shops, diesel shops. That is what I want to talk about this week. So I will give you guys a little bit of a taste of next week on this where we talk about a top shop. No, I'm not going to name who my top shop is. I guess I'll reach out privately to them and so that they know who this is. But I have to give credit. We have a new winner. It is not the same winner that we had in 2023, but I do want to give a special shout out to the West Region because for the second year running, the West Region has held the claim to the most profitable shop. Unsurprisingly so, as we get to page 19 of this benchmark, which I'm reading from, you can see that the West Region also took the cake of the highest profit across the regions. We look at the Southeast, Southwest, Midwest, Northeast, and West as all separate categories. Also, when I'm saying profit, remember that I'm saying profit plus owner's wages. Again, the reason that we do this is it takes the variable out if I have an owner that pays himself a ton or doesn't pay him a lot. That is one of the biggest volatilities of profitability, and I see this all the time when people measure EBITDA, so we always include owner's wages in there. But essentially what this number is saying is that the West region, which was the top region, 16.4% of their sales went in my owner's or my client's pocket, either by way of profits or payroll. The lowest on there was actually our Southeast at 14.8%. When we look at this last year, I don't have this in front of me, but this is probably the biggest gap that we've ever had. Generally, we look at this, it's like pretty close. It's like a point between the top and the not for the regions, where we're seeing a 2% spread between the West and the Southeast. Where does this come from? Again, you can draw all types of conclusion on this. Is this market related? Is it not? Personally, we have a ton of clients in Florida. Florida had probably one of the strongest economies during COVID and a huge, huge influx of people moving down there. Post-COVID, during COVID, all of it. That was probably one of the areas we saw the largest increase in housing prices and things like that. Flash forward to today, Miami is on the number one list of the most oversupply of real estate with 200% of sellers compared to buyers on there. Is this a real estate market? Is this a hangover on this? I don't know. Again, this is too big of an average to run. Really, the biggest reason we do this little map here with profit and stuff like that is just it's fun. If you're going to look at the most profitable way generally to run a shop on there, a lot of those are going to be in the Midwest, which is number two on there. But we had a couple of really profitable shops in the West that probably pulled that average up. Shout out to my shop owners. Credit that you were able to maximize your sales coming in there, which is, I feel like, a very, very, very good indicator. Like I said last week, the only thing that it doesn't measure is inputs. My client that was the top shop, he was a hard worker. He worked for that money. But because of that, over a third of his sales ended up going to his pocket. So he was a little bit smaller shop. But if you think about that, if you are running a 33% margin here like this client was, on $1 million of sales, 350 grand of that was ending up in his pocket. Pretty darn cool. But yeah, he was working hard for it. Let's look at labor rate. And this is where we start to get into some of these questions that you guys have actually been asking me. Hunt, where does my labor rate stack up? And I'm going to go rapid fire down here through these different regions. So for the Southeast, average labor rate was 165. Southwest, average labor rate was 177. Midwest, average labor rate was 157. Northeast, 166. And West at 171. So Southwest, even though Southwest had the second lowest overall profit margin, was our highest labor rate. What does that say to you? It says to me that labor rate and judging my labor rate based on other people is probably a bad indicator, because while it is something that you need to be mindful of, as we see here, your labor rate actually doesn't have any direct input on your profit. One of the things that we do see on here is that productivity probably does. Most profitable region was the Southeast, and the highest productivity at over 50%. Now, again, remember how I do productivity. It is not your effective labor rate. It is not hours turned. How many hours did you get paid at what you told me your street rate was divided by the amount of technicians? So a little bit different than probably how you're seeing productivity, but also one that doesn't have the variable of you guys messing with your effective labor rate. This gets us to another issue where we have some numbers that don't seem to make much sense. So if we look at this, like I said, the most productive area was also our most profitable in the West. But we also know that our least profitable area was the Southeast. So how do they have the same amount of productivity? When we look at this and we look at this on an individual shop level, we do see that there is a direct relationship between productivity and profit. Once you start grouping into location, not all of that stuff starts to make sense. So that's the only thing I'll put out there is, again, if you want to look in, because we'll go down and we'll look at productivity in top versus not shop, it is a very good indicator on this. It is not the end all be all. You could still mess this up. And again, if your productivity is good, we're not seeing of what it was last year. I don't have these numbers in front of me. And what we could be seeing is, yeah, the West, where it was the most profitable, their productivity is actually the same, which allowed them to have higher profits. Why did the Southeast have the same amount of productivity with less profits? Maybe the productivity was higher last year. We saw a larger productivity drop in the Southeast, which is really more of probably what happened there. Again, judging it based on where you are probably is a good indicator, but what about shop size? A shop doing $2 million a year versus a shop doing $1 million a year could be compared in some ways and maybe not others. Owners pay plus profit. And this is something that we hadn't seen in the past, is 12.6% of sales on average went to our owner or client's pocket for smaller shops less than $1.2 million a year, whereas over 17% ended up in our owner's pockets if their sales were over $1.2 million a year. I will throw a wrench into things and I will tell you that our top shop was actually less than $1.2 million a year. And that is all that I will say on the annual size. I think that there's a barometer. I have a whole page in here of every single number that you can compare for bigger or smaller shops on it. But honestly, it's something that we had always measured and I'd always want to see on there. And I might move that number up. $1.2 million adjusted for inflation is not the same as it was 3 years ago when we started doing this. But again, I'm going to try to test this some more. But we're really not seeing a whole lot of variation based on shop size. And I'll give you one very good reason why. Generally, if I am guessing on this, and I would say like assumptions, your shop from a percentage standpoint is much more profitable at $1.2 million a year than $2.2 million. Why? Because 20% of $1.2 million is $240,000 and 20% of double that is almost $500,000. You get to a certain point where you get comfortable and generally people take their foot off the gas and we see profitability as a percentage start to slide. Also, sometimes what we see on there is once you get bigger, you allow a lower profit margin because you're trying to work yourself out of a job. Is that what these numbers are showing? No, not at all. What it does show, though, is something completely different that kind of reinforces my thoughts about productivity. I was surprised to see this. We had not seen this in the past, but what we are seeing here is that productivity for our less than $1.2 million a year shop was almost 10 points lower. So our smaller shops were less profitable, but I do not believe it had anything to do with sales and had everything to do with productivity. And this is where you got to be careful with applying causation to stuff where there might not be a relationship. Did this person make less money because their sales were lower, or they made less money because their productivity was lower, which obviously meant that their sales are lower, which obviously means less profit. Depending on which part of the circle you're jumping in, you can start to see causation any different number of ways in any different number of directions. Overall, labor rate, virtually identical. Big shop, small shop, 162, 167, not a whole lot of difference here.
Shop owners, are you struggling to find and retain top-tier talent for your automotive shop? Introducing Promotive. On the web at gopromotive.com. With over 40 years of combined industry recruiting experience, we're the ultimate staffing solution. We go beyond traditional agencies. Our team provides dedicated recruiters and account managers advising on processes, compensation, and benefits. We focus on placing technicians and service advisors with shops that offer the best culture, training, and long-term growth opportunities. Trust our experience to match the right talent to your shop. We carefully select shops that value employee excellence and provide an environment for success. Our dedicated team leads the entire process, leveraging our industry knowledge and expertise. Partner with Promotive and experience their advantage to help you build a high-performing team that drives your shop's growth. Visit gopromotive.com today and let us help find and keep the best talent in the industry.
Let's start breaking this down to what type of shops are the most profitable. General, we call them general import. That's such a kind of antiquated, outdated name because if you said import, that's probably almost all vehicles, but that's the way we name it. General slash import, which is usually, you know, Japanese and Asian. General slash diesel. Again, there are some full diesel shops in there, but these are also our shops that have a large majority of diesel. And then the third option is European, or we call them kind of European specialized or highline. We have some stops that don't necessarily work on European vehicles that are actually in the European shop because their model matches up to it. Just because the Highline expensive custom one-off vehicle didn't come from European doesn't mean it doesn't fit in there too for comparison's sake. So it's not a perfect science on it, but generally when we look at this, you got three different kinds of shop. You got a general repair shop, you guys do diesel, or do you do European? I get it. You guys are somewhere in the middle and we play God sometimes to pick which one you go in. What does that look like? Well, general repair shops was the most profitable and diesel was actually the least profitable. Again, does that mean that this is the exact case for your business? No, but I think that the one big thing that did jump out at me is labor rate. Most profitable was general repair and it had the lowest labor rate by a large margin. 163 for general, 179 for diesel, and over 180 for European. So you might be thinking to yourself, well, hun, I bet you're about to tell me that the general repair shop's productivity was much better than the European or diesel, when I'm here to tell you that it's not. General and European are 10, 15 points higher than general repair. And why are their profits lower? Again, we're starting to get groups beyond specific shops. If you were to look at these specific shops, as we'll see in the top versus not, there's a lot more linear relationship to this, but what we actually see on this is productivity varies drastically between these types of shops. So if you're looking to compare productivity specifically on it, we see across the board that our diesel shops are generally the most productive, European are next, and then general repair is the last. You can correct me if I'm wrong on there, but my own personal experience from this profession, also mechanically, diesel shops are generally get the longest labor hours. They have some wackier tickets because you can have some really, really big tickets that have a ton of labor and virtually no parts, or the exact opposite. Very, very expensive parts and virtually no labor. The thing that I see in some diesel shops is for a general repair shop, it is very, very, very rare to have a shop consistently average over 100% productivity. That is not the case for a diesel shop. If the book time and you're calling for 25 hours for a full cab off on this, and a guy does Duramaxes every single day of the week, most of my shops are going to be mad if he takes the full 25-hour book time. You're slapping pads onto a Honda Accord on it. Sure, you might be able to beat the book, but probably not enough to be able to bring these averages up. Also, when you look at diesel and European on it, these guys are more productive, but on average, a master diesel tech or master Euro tech is going to be more expensive than a master general repair tech. Lastly on this, this is only having to do with sales, only having to do with labor production. There is a $30,000 subscription if you want a Mercedes diagnostic on there. I don't know what Chevrolet costs, but it's probably not $30,000. The cost of doing business, the cost of equipment, the size of facility, especially for the diesel, there is a lot more cost generally around operating a General or a Euro. So yeah, you are more productive. Yeah, you are selling it for more, but the numbers don't lie. It doesn't work out that you're making more in the long run. I have a saying, and it's usually true, the cooler it is, the cooler the car looks, the less money you probably make on it. My most profitable shop, he does not touch Lamborghinis, he does not touch Porsches, he does not touch Rolls Royce or Bentleys. I have shops that do. I don't think any of those eyes are in the not top 10 shops. I don't think any of those are in the bottom ones, but generally they are sniffing right around average at best. So before we wrap this up, I want to quickly go down through these probably biggest sheets or most data that we have on here is these three pages, starting with page 22 through 24. What this is, the benchmark of all the data that we have, firstly by location, next by sale size, and then finally by type. I am not going to go down line by line on this. I'm going to quickly go down through some stuff that jumped out at me. So first, let's start with data by location. So this is where we do Southeast, Southwest, Midwest, and all of those. If we look at average monthly sales, if we look at average monthly sales per bay, per technician on it, I'd be hard to make a large sort of analysis on that. Arguably, they're very similar on this. The labor gross profit, as we went back to, directly relates somewhat to the productivity other than the Southeast. Southeast, you guys had a pretty good year on productivity, pretty good year on labor, which you guys just didn't make much money. I don't know why, but the numbers don't lie. Shop supply sales are looking relatively similar on this. Northeast, your shop supply sales are much lower than everyone else because a lot of our clients in New York and you guys are not allowed to charge shop supplies as a percentage of sales. Same thing with California, but for whatever reason, it pulled the Northeast down much lower than most other people, only slightly behind the West, which was the second lowest. California and New York, you cannot charge a percentage of your sales as a flat fee for shop supplies. Why? I don't know. They won't let you guys do it. Advertising. Advertising was one that I'm going to mention on here because it's pretty big difference for one group. Southwest, you guys are marketing twice of what everyone else is. West, Northeast, Midwest, and Southeast are at 2.3, 2.3, 2, and 1.9. Pretty much all of them are spending around 2% of their sales on advertising, where in the Southwest, you guys are spending almost 4%. What does that mean if I'm in the Southwest? If I'm comparing myself on advertising, it sure looks my competitors are spending more money on here, so maybe mine might be higher. Anything larger conclusion than that, I probably wouldn't jump there. Rent, again, as you might expect, West and Southwest are going to be the most expensive rent. I see that all the time. But again, 4.5% is the highest. And then as you might expect, Midwest, the lowest at 3.7%. Still not a massive difference. Overall total expenses as a percentage of sales. Where is the most expensive place to operate? What has the highest overhead? As you might imagine, the place with the lowest profit, the Southwest, is where we had the highest overhead at 38% of your sales, whereas the Midwest was only at 31.7%, which was our lowest place to do business. This probably doesn't surprise you, but it is slightly less expensive to do business outside of Dayton, Ohio than it is outside of San Francisco, California. Owner pay divided by sales. Don't look at that. This is what someone decided to pay them. And I would argue some of these people are paying themselves too low or too high. And in the Southwest, you guys are all paying yourself too high because again, 5.29, 5.4, 6.4, 5.2 for everyone else. Southwest, you guys came in almost 9%. Don't pay yourself too much money. You're throwing away money in payroll taxes. Profit. We already talked about profit. We already talked about profit as a percentage of sales, average repair order. Again, there are some other things to glean on here but not a whole lot as far as by size. This is a really good page for you if you want to do a sanity check on where your numbers are compared to your competitors in a geographic location. Use that. Don't take too much sense in that one. So going down through the data by size, so less than $1.2 million in annual sales or over $1.2 million in annual sales. Again, we got 45 different line items. I made it for you guys. Go and read it and try to make your own conclusions. The biggest thing that jumped out at me of why these people are not able to, you know, why we saw the profit lower for the smaller shops than we did the larger shops is maximizing their overhead. So we saw like a 4% decrease in profit comparing one versus the other. Gross profit was generally almost identical. You guys are selling this or marking this up in very similar ways. The difference comes in is shops less than $1.2 million in sales are having around 37.5% of their sales go to their overhead, whereas larger shops over $1.2 million in annual sales, only like 33% of their sales are going to overhead. I think overall that makes sense on there because I think that, and I look down through into some of these categories, we have some shops in the less than $1.2 million category that were not last year. And that's probably the reason why we saw some of that profitability go down. If you're a $1.5 million a year shop doing $1.2 million, no, you shouldn't expect to have a good year and you probably didn't. So again, look at these, compare this. There is some numbers that are relevant on there. Not every single one is going to be relevant to you or an actionable item. So last but surely not least, let's get into some of these different numbers by type of business because I do think that this is very representative. And my shop is different and I'll tell you where you guys are different and where you're not. So just like I talked about before, there is a completely different way that labor is made up, whether you're a Euro shop, a diesel shop, or a general repair shop. How you maximize it, how much you sell it for, how much you can beat the book time on it. But I am here to tell you that their labor gross profit is virtually identical. Remember how we were saying before, wait, why is diesel's productivity so high, but it doesn't really translate to profit? Or that productivity didn't even translate to gross profit. So how did it translate to net profit? Again, diesel technicians are more expensive on this, or even though they're more productive, but costing you more. Obviously, it did not translate into more gross profit dollars because your labor gross profit in the diesel world is the lowest of those three. As you might imagine, too, on there, parts gross profit for the diesel boys are also lower than the other two as well. We're averaging around 46, 47% profit on parts for general repair and Euro. So I'm going to say that again for the guys in the back that do not think that you guys can mark up your parts the same. I am showing here on average of all of our shops is 47% for parts gross profit. Average for all of our Euro shops, 46.3%. What does that mean? That means that it looks like European shops on average are using a standard parts matrix. In the past, we'd always seen lower. I know I've seen it argued in the past that it should be lower. To me, it seems like the Euro guys are making up for lost time on this. And parts gross profit, labor gross profit looks very similar between a general and a Euro shop. Everyone's spending about the same amount of advertising. We see that same 2-3% drop on overall gross profit even after service advisors. European shops, where you guys start losing ground on the general repair shops is you have the highest cost of doing business. Average sales going to overhead for European shops was 38%. I mean, of all your sales coming through the door, 38% of them were going to your overhead compared to only 32% for diesel shops and 33% for general repair. Overall profit divided by, or overall owner's pay plus profit divided by sales, as you remembered, the top was general repair, coming up with the European, and lastly on diesel. That is a really cool page, though, because how they came to a very similar net profit target could not have been in a different way. ARO is all over the page. Car count is completely different on this. Shop supply cost is drastically different. Shop supply sales is drastically different. Sales by number of advisors is slightly different. But yeah, there's a lot to gain on this page. Overall, after listening to this week's episode, I hope that it covered a couple of things. I hope that first it was a word of caution about comparing yourself, because comparing yourself to what is a very, very important question. And sometimes the answer is going to be different depending on who you ask. Also, there's probably not enough data that you could ever look at. And if you look at enough data, you're going to confuse yourself. So be careful on this. Use this as anecdotal. Use this to give you good guidelines. This is not meant to be the end-all be-all, nor are my analysis on there to be the end-all be-all as well. Download the report, ask questions, share this with a friend, and make your own conclusions. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or ideas for future episodes, shoot me an email at info@podcast@parmelis.com. If you want to talk to me about accounting and tax services for your business, shoot me an email at info@parmelis.com. Don't forget to check out the rest of the shows on aftermarketradionetwork.com and on your favorite podcast listing apps. So thanks again for joining me on Business by the Number. Stay safe out there, and I will talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Hunt on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Hunt is all for advancing the aftermarket.